me though, it's the Rich Keefe Show. Here we go, you're now rocking with the Rich Keefe Show on your radio.
You're about to hear the chronicles from a topical, comical, and knowledgeable Boston sports talker, dropping in hotter than a tropical climate. Breaking news, he supplies it, and you want the truth? Scoops, Keefe will find it. Scoops. He's talking about all the sports, and he's also a hashtag dork. And the father of two sweet daughters, the leader of your squad for you evening marauders and night commuters. Tune in and sit tight, 6 to 10, more like 6 to midnight, ow. The mic's hot on the Night's Watch crew. Celtics, Bruins, Pats, and Red Sox too. Doing this since the Rich Keefe Project. Now he's got podcasts and Twitch stream content. KWFE on WEEI. It's the Rich Keefe Show, so here's your guy.
All right, here we go. Thanks for tuning into this Thursday night edition of the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI. Taking up until 10 o'clock tonight. Rob Bradford, the one and only, will join us between 7 and 9, so we can all yell at Bradford and blame him for the way the BBWAA does their Hall of Fame voting. Still upset for some reason about Scott Rowland getting in, nobody else getting in. But whatever, we'll do some baseball with him. The fallout from winter weekend, Red Sox offseason, we'll save that for later on in the program when Bradford joins us. But story of the day, and you guys have all probably seen it, heard of it, whatever. This story from Andrew Callahan, friend of the show, made his Rich Keefe Show debut last night, and Karen Garigian of the Boston Herald. They joined forces for what is a pretty big story today. And again, not stuff we've never heard before, not stuff that was just like, oh my God, really? Matt Patricia and Joe Judge were bad? But there's more details in here. There's a lot more details, and they both talked to what felt like a number of different people that kind of outlined just how bad it was. And really, the fact that they were all willing to speak on it might be even the bigger story than some of the details that are in there. But it's worth reading. I think everybody has tweeted it out today. Everybody, every show has talked about it, referenced it, and everything else. But there's a lot of takeaways in there. One that jumps out to me, I don't think Joe Judge gets nearly enough credit for being a bad coach. Everybody talks about Matt Patricia. Everybody blames Matt Patricia. Everybody's even now starting to look at Bill Belichick. Not that he's a bad coach, but the decision to put Patricia there, put Judge there. Belichick's taking a ton of blame, as he should. Patricia's taking a ton of blame. Joe Judge is kind of also there. This article kind of outlines how awful he was as a quarterback's coach, which, again, Bill never should have put him in that spot to begin with. But as a QB's coach for a second-year quarterback, the combination of Judge and Patricia is the worst thing you could have done for a young quarterback. This would have been, oh my God, would we have been laughing if another team did this to Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or Trey Lance? Oh my God, we'd be cackling. Like, that guy's on defense. That guy's a special teams coach. And I was coaching the quarterbacks. And I think this one, it's funny. Just real quick, I'll read a part of it. Again, you should read it for yourself. It's very, very good. But this, I think, sums it up pretty well. As Matt Patricia came under outside fire as the face of the offense, Judge drew increasing criticism from within. Belichick would blast him in practice, and it wasn't uncommon for Judge and Jones to trade profanity-laced outbursts. Nothing like a good F-bomb here and there, right? Kind of like Tom Brady the other night. I says, Jones's trust in his position coach was effectively non-existent. Mac didn't like him, one source said, at all. So that's not even just another quote here. Judge would speak extra loudly in meetings, trying to project like he was the guy. I can't control the level of my voice. And I think that was kind of rub people the wrong way. So you're telling me that this guy, this is going back to Joe Judge's intro press conference back with the Giants. You're telling me he might not be good one-on-one with a 24-year-old quarterback? Here's Joe Judge.
There's a question out there I'm sure a lot of people are asking. That's number one, who am I? Well, maybe I can explain that a little bit better, but instead of saying who am I, by telling you what's relevant in this conversation with being a coach of the New York Giants, what I'm about. And what I'm about is an old school physical mentality.
Oh, yeah, that's the guy I want. I want that guy to coach my quarterback. I want the old school physical mentality. We're going to run gassers every day after practice. Actually, we're going to practice even without the ball. Yeah, we're not going to use the ball today. We're going to get you in shape mentally. We're going to grind every single day. Doesn't work anymore. Doesn't work anymore. Didn't work with the Giants at all, famously so. was even proven out big time this year when Brian Daboll takes over, the same quarterback, same team, and goes to the divisional round. But yeah, this is the guy. Again, Matt Patricia got a lot of blame for taking on two jobs he shouldn't have had. And you're right, he was an inept too. But my sense is people question more Matt Patricia's offensive knowledge, which is fair, right? If you're Kendrick Bourne or Mac Jones or Devontae Parker or whoever, Hunter Henry, and they don't name the sources, but you can kind of guess. Obviously, Bourne's one of them. It kind of has to be, doesn't he? Based on what he has said publicly. You can only imagine what he's saying privately. But it seems like with Patricia, he may have changed kind of how he acts. Maybe like the people person aspect of him may have changed a little bit. Unfortunately, he's just inept. He's not an offensive play caller. In fact, if you get into some of the game plans, this seemingly week in and week out was Matt Patricia's playbook.
Well, I run six plays, split beers like Novocaine. Just give it time, always works.
Six plays. Like, yeah, that might work in high school football in the 60s. I'm not sure it's going to work now in the NFL. And so guys were upset about it. But Patricia, you just kind of roll your eyes and like, all right, this guy doesn't have answers offensively. But Joe Judge seems like it was much more like the everything. Like, not only did he not have the answers for it, but then he's trying to pretend like he did. And it said a lot of people were frustrated with Judge. This is what another source said. So it wasn't just Mac Jones, right? Like, Mac Jones didn't like him, but it wasn't strictly, oh, the quarterback doesn't like him. And maybe, you know, you start to pile on the young quarterback. Like, we've taken a few calls, a very few, but we've taken a few calls in the month that we've been on about, well, Mac Jones just needs to kind of shut up and listen to the coaches. Yeah, not when they're the coaches. Not when this guy.
Okay. We're going to put a product on the field that the people of this city and region will be proud of, because this team will represent this area.
Okay.
We'll play fast. We'll play downhill. We'll play aggressive.
Ooh.
We'll punch you in the nose for 60 minutes. We'll play every play.
Is he going to punch you in the nose? Yeah, do that. You'd be punching people in the nose.
Like, it is a history and a life of its own with a relentless competitive attitude.
Wow.
We'll play fundamentally sound. We will not beat ourselves. That is our mission right here. Okay.
All right.
I'm about caring for the players in the locker room.
Okay. Well, that seems like it wasn't really the case, at least this year. And again, the article also points to how Judge started to get phased out, right? Like, I think even Belichick, and he wouldn't admit this publicly, and he was asked about it all year, right? Like, on and off all year long, because this was just so painfully obvious, which is the most frustrating thing. Like, when other coaches make mistakes, whether it's a bad draft pick, a bad trade, maybe it's even, you know, a bad hire, they just don't go, like, they just don't defend it the way that Bill did all year, and or not really answer the question, kind of skirt around it about, like, anybody can coach football. Remember at the beginning of the year when, again, the obvious question was, you got non-offensive guys coaching the offense there? And he's like, yeah, well, you know, Brian Daboll and Josh McDaniels both started on defense. It's like, yeah, well, they were like 22 and making copies. Like, when they moved over to offense, they were on offense for a while before they got promoted to being offensive coordinators at wherever they were. And Matt Patricia started on offense and went to defense, but like really, really early on. And then he became a defensive guy. And again, we said this at the time too. It's one thing if Tom Brady was still your quarterback. Now, he would have lost his mind too, but at least he knows everything there is to possibly know about offense in the NFL. Your second-year quarterback, I assume, is still learning, and you need somebody to be able to teach him to be ready for everything. And instead, you get this guy.
Let's not forget there's a human element to this game.
Well, you may
Let's
have.
Let's not think that in professional sports that paying a paycheck to somebody makes it absent of empathy.
What?
We need to make sure that we take care of the players in our locker room.
All right.
That we treat them the right way.
You mentioned
that. We teach them the correct techniques, and that we put them in the right situation to be successful.
How'd that go this year? Again, this is from Joe Judge's Giants intro press conference, and then it was just all downhill from there. But this is the guy, like, I think we might not have spent enough time talking about how bad of a hire that was, because his responsibility may not have been quite as much as what you saw with Matt Patricia, right? Like the actual, you know, play calls. But if Joe Judge is the quarterback's coach, Mac Jones had to spend a lot of time with this guy. You're like, well, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing either. So why am I going to him? Like, the play caller doesn't know what's going on. He's got this thin, tiny little playbook. And then I'm going to talk to the quarterback coach who just yells at me. He's just in these meetings, like, talking really loud. Like, that's ridiculous.
We're going to ask these men to come in and give everything they have every day.
Oh, boy.
We're going to demand it.
All right.
and we appreciate everything they give us. It's our responsibility to take care of them on a daily basis and make sure when they are done with our game, they are better furthered for the rest of their career as a father, a husband, and a professional, whatever avenue they take.
Wow, there we go. Now we're talking. I don't know if Mac Jones is going to be a better father or husband after his time with Joe Judge. I do feel, in all seriousness, that the quarterback was broken. Like, they broke this guy. They threw everything possible at him that, like, just challenges. Like, normally the challenge should be, I don't know, the Buffalo Bills, the New York Jets, not the coaches in your own locker room. So, again, this article in the Herald today just kind of further examined how bad it was. We knew it was bad. We saw the like, I'd never heard anything like it going back to training camp, where every single beat writer we would talk to, or anybody who was down there at practice, would say, yeah, this is the worst offense we've ever seen, like, in 23 years. Then you have some people that would come in from other markets. They're like, yeah, people that didn't just cover Tom Brady, right? Because it's easy to say, well, yeah, Tom Brady, of course, was always better. But no, people, like, from all over would come in and be like, that's the worst offense we've ever seen in an NFL practice. And you heard it so many times, and then you saw it in the preseason, and then it kind of bled into the regular season. You're like, oh, my God, terrible. A wasted year. That was my – as soon as the season came to an end against Buffalo, that was my first takeaway. I was like, what a wasted year. Because even if you didn't make the playoffs, or even if you didn't, you know, win the Super Bowl, if you knew what you had in your quarterback, you're like, all right, there we go. Toughest thing to find in football, and you want to hang on to this guy because you have him pretty cheap. He's on his rookie deal right now, but you've got nothing. And now you still have the question going in, and now Bill O'Brien has to come in here and fix everything. But, like, he's not just taking over a quarterback that, you know, whatever Mac's record was this year as the starter, like, a, you know, below 500. He's not just coming in and trying to fix that. He is, and again, I think it can be done. Right? Like, it's possible that it can be done, but it's going to be a lot on Bill O'Brien's shoulders. Because also, how do all the guys on the team feel about Bill Belichick right now? One of the great quotes from the article, maybe the headline pull quote from it, is from a source, again, unnamed source, but we assume it's a player, quote, "I love Belichick, but he bleeped us." And again, the "I love Belichick" part, I think that's just the guy that's kind of trying to soften what he's about to say. How many, and especially because this isn't like two teammates just talking to each other, right? This is a player talking to a reporter. So you're like, well, I don't want to completely bury the guy. So you do the, like, how many times have you done that in your own life when you're talking about somebody else behind their back? You're like, I love him. I love him. Great guy. But man, he sucks. He sucks at this, that, and the other thing. Or he screwed us. Like, he really screwed us. Love him, though. Did I mention I love him? You're like, no. I think the second thing that you said is really what you mean. And so players on the team think that Belichick bleeped him. So how do you roll into this season and be like, that was last year. That was just one of, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of my NFL career where we were set up to fail. So I don't know how that's going to go. I think that's going to take some time to fix and to recover. Because at least, you know, the example in Jacksonville, where Trevor Lawrence, they tried to break Lawrence by giving him Urban Meyer, at least you rip the Band-Aid off and you're like, shove that guy out of town. Here comes Peterson. Let's turn things around. This one's weird. Matt Patricia will be gone. Joe Judge hopefully won't be in that same role. Actually, we know he's not in the same role. Bill O'Brien, officially quarterback's coach as well as offensive coordinator. But he's still got Bill where you're looking over at one with one eye saying, well, that's the guy that really didn't do what was in the best interest of the team last year. So they're still going to have those thoughts. And with the likely retirement of McCourty and Slater, there are less and less guys in that locker room that remember Super Bowl wins or, hell, even playoff wins under Belichick. So, like, you and I look at Bill and, like, oh, he's the greatest coach ever. But the guys in that locker room are like, missed the playoffs last year. He hired two incompetent boobs to run the offense. Like, how do I really feel about that? They're worried about right now. So, and then the fact that so many of them were willing to talk about it, I think that is pretty damning and shows you just how much this locker room needs to be fixed. So we can get into more of this, and it even dovetails into what are the worst Bill Belichick moves of all time. I have a quick list of 5 we can get to, but we'll take your thoughts on this as well. 617-779-7937. It's the Rich Keefe Show. Right now, here's Ben Charleston with What's Trending.
This is the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
And
and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Now, you guys ain't been in the building for 2 years now with this cooking. All right, but I'll tell you right now. All right, if you're in the damn building, you walk on through our locker room, you ain't seeing that crap you saw before. All right? You ain't seeing guys right now planning vacations. You ain't seeing golf clubs in front of players' locker. You ain't seeing that stuff. Okay? You ain't seeing that.
Yeah, okay. That's Joe Judge from, I think it was like his last day on the job with the Giants. He thought he was going to stay with the Giants, and he certainly did not. And then Bill Belichick brought him over to the New England Patriots, and here he is coaching the quarterbacks, at least for most of the year. We were discussing the article in the Boston Herald today. Andrew Callahan, friend of the show, Karen Grigian, and it looks like Mac Jones did not like Joe Judge at all. And again, one of my many takeaways from the story, here back here on the Rich Keefe Show, by the way, WEEI, is that Joe Judge doesn't get nearly enough credit for being a terrible coach. So much of the blame was on Matt Patricia, but also to not have a competent quarterback coach for your second-year quarterback, that proved to be part of the undoing as well. You can join us at 617-779-7937. You can also follow the program on Twitter and Instagram, at Rich Keefe Show. Another thing I want to add to the pile here, I've been giving this a tremendous amount of thought, like on my drive in tonight. Top five worst Bill Belichick decisions of all time. Here's my list. You could differ. I was shooting the breeze with Andy Hart and Fitzy before. We all had a different number one, by the way, but all were in my list. So here we are from 5 to 1, worst Bill Belichick decisions ever made. Number five, wearing the red hoodie in Super Bowl 42. I know you're thinking, Keith, that's a dumb one, but it isn't. They were undefeated that year. He had never worn a red hoodie. Then he wears a red hoodie. How many of you saw that red hoodie in the pregame and said, ah, son of a gun, that's not going to work, and then famously lost, and there goes the undefeated season. Number four, drafting N'Keal Harry. Now, this one's kind of two-prong. One, that was sort of a last-ditch effort to try to keep Brady, give him another weapon, didn't work, and he was drafted ahead of A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, D.K. Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, etc., etc. So that's number four. Number three, not re-signing Tom Brady. I know 2019, the offense wasn't great, but by all accounts, Brady just wanted a two-year, $50 million deal. They wouldn't give it to him. Some reports say they didn't even actually offer him anything, and then he wins the Super Bowl the next year. So giving up on Brady. And again, how you feel about Brady right now maybe changes things a little bit, but go back to that time, not re-signing him, mistake number three. Second worst decision, I think, is this Matt Patricia offensive coordinator thing. Derailing your quarterback, breaking your quarterback, second-year guy after a promising rookie year. And this one was such an obvious one at the time. So bringing in Matt Patricia, and sort of by extension, Joe Judge, second worst decision of all time. And number one, still hung up on Malcolm Butler, because that one directly impacted a Super Bowl. The other ones, the Patriots weren't going to win the Super Bowl this year. Now, again, you got a long way to go to get Mac Jones good again, but they weren't going to win the Super Bowl this year. And even with Brady, depending on what they could get on offense, who really knows what would have happened there the next couple of years. So the one that directly impacts a Super Bowl is that. So there you go. There's my top five worst Bill Belichick decisions. You can hit us up on the text 37937, or you can tweet us at Rich Keefe Show with some of yours. I'm sure I forgot some, so there's some that you have on there, or maybe you have a different number one than I do. Let's go to the horn right now as we're talking Pat's coaches. Rob is in Rhode Island. He joins us next. What's up, Rob?
Not too much. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm surprised no one talked about this in regards to Bill, Pyron, Patricia, and Judge. They're both still under contract with the Lions and the Giants at the time, so Bill basically hired them for nothing. Now,
we talked about that.
David, how much money? Who knows? So, what are your thoughts on that? Thank you.
Okay. Well, we've talked about that quite a bit. And, like, famously, the Patriots don't spend a lot of money on their assistant coaches. Bill's contract has never really been publicly out there, although a few websites kind of were running with it this year. He's the highest paid coach in the NFL. Some suggest $20 million. I think Tommy Kern was on the station not too long ago. Didn't he say maybe upwards to 30 or 20, 25, 30? He makes a ton of money. But we've kind of heard that the assistants really don't. Josh McDaniels finally did when he was about to take that Colts job and then ended up coming back. I think they made him the highest paid offensive coordinator. But yeah, for the most part, they don't pay guys. And absolutely, bringing Patricia and Judge back, considering they weren't getting paid, was a big part of it. Brett Bielema, remember him? He was getting paid by was it Arkansas? So they had him in here. So, yeah, that's not unprecedented. And that's what was crazy. I thought Bill really liked Patricia. And you could call that flawed. We can call it whatever you want. I thought he really liked Patricia. And now some of these reports are because he's no longer – this was the last year he was getting paid by the Detroit Lions that they were just going to move on from him. Like, that is cold-blooded. But then again, it's not show friends, it's show business. I mean, I think a famous person once said. So maybe they are just going to move on from Patricia. Different, another update with this Shrine Bowl thing, by the way. So the East-West Shrine Bowl, the Falcons are coaching one team, the Patriots are coaching another, and they tweeted out this graphic of who the coaches were. And if you're like a high-end coach, you're more of like a supervisor, and then they allow the position coaches and the lower-end guys to sort of really coach these teams, these college players. And at first, there was no Patricia, Judge, Steve Belichick, Nick Caley on the chart. And then it was like, well, actually, no. Steve Belichick is there. He just wasn't on the media guide. You're like, okay. And then today, I saw apparently Joe Judge might be there, but no Matt Patricia, no Nick Caley. So take that for what it's worth. And we know again, Joe Judge will not be the quarterback's coach next year. They did make it official today. The Patriots made it official. Bill O'Brien, offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach. So maybe Joe Judge will do special teams, which he should have been doing the entire time, or who knows what Belichick has up his sleeve. Let's go to Craig in Rhode Island. He joins us next on the program. What's up, Craig?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, just driving home. Honestly, you know, blaming on Patricia, blaming on this. But, I mean, Bill Belichick's worst decision was drafting Mac.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
I hate to keep hating on this, but I mean, dude, I'm blaming on Patricia, blaming on this, blaming on that. But listen, when you go to the line, when you're walking to the line and you're looking at your wristband, and you're looking at your wristband, you've had a quarterback coach since you were 14 years old. What's going on?
Like, yeah, but
what
Craig,
are you thinking about?
Listen, I'm not the biggest Mac Jones fan in the world, but he had a pretty good rookie year, didn't he?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why, I don't think, and thanks for the phone call, man. That's why I don't think drafting Mac is his worst decision. It's one thing if Micah Parsons went 16 overall and you drafted Mac over Micah Parsons, then I'd be like, all right, you got a problem. Or if you drafted him ahead of any of the other quarterbacks, all the other first round quarterbacks were already off the board. So I don't love the Mac Jones draft pick necessarily, but it's a long way from his worst move. Again, my five worst moves are Malcolm Butler, hiring Matt Patricia as OC, not re-signing Tom Brady, drafting N'Keal Harry, and wearing a red hoodie in Super Bowl 42. Those are my five. Again, whatever your number one is, I'm all ears. I think Andy Hart thought it was Matt Patricia OC. Fitzy thought it was how it ended with Brady. So all those, you make a good argument for all three of those. Maybe there's some others out there. And again, I find it, and by the way, it's few and far between, like the 4th-and-2 play or the rugby kick against the Eagles in the regular season or the Steven Jackson game where they're like, we got to establish the run against Miami and then you lose home field. So there's certain ones like that that could certainly be on your list, but these are more kind of bigger picture ones in a lot of cases. Rico's down on the Cape. He joins us next. What's up, Rico?
Hey, Rich. How are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
Taking the call.
Yep.
All right. So here's maybe everybody's talking about this, but I never hear it. The Patriots draft this year, are we not looking for a quarterback? Are we not looking for, you know, if something falls into our lap in the first round, we are going to replace Mac Jones? Are we really thinking we're going to give him the big return contract coming up? I know he got screwed. I understand everything that you guys are saying about the coaches. I agree with it all. But it's time for us to stop thinking about who our next quarterback's going to be.
Well, you know what, Rico? I don't think it's an outrageous question. I do think they have plenty of needs. Like, I don't love the roster. You got, you know, what? Ramondre Stevenson you like? Matt Judon you like? Who else do you really like? Maybe you like a few more guys. You don't love anybody besides maybe those two guys. I think they desperately need a tackle. Like, they're probably going to draft a tackle at 14, although this might be the year that Bill never takes the guy you want him to take. And usually it's because it's like a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman. And this is the year that most fans are going to be screaming for the offensive lineman. And maybe that's when he goes somewhere else. So that's where he goes corner. I don't think it's going to be quarterback. I also don't love this quarterback class. By the way, did you see Bryce Young, the latest with him? He might be the number one pick, although the Bears probably will trade out of it or whatever. But Bryce Young, I think he's exactly 6 feet tall, and he's 194 pounds, and he's dealing with a nutritionist now because they're going to try to get him up to 210. I guess like that's the magic number for him. If he's 210, I guess he's going to be fine. But he's a little quarterback. You're not going to worry about going up to get him, but I don't love the quarterbacks in this class. You did draft a quarterback last year in Bailey Zappe in the fourth round. And you're right. Eventually, you're going to have to make a decision on Mac Jones and whether or not you want to pay him. But you don't have to do it after this year. That fourth year is also really cheap. The fifth year option on a first-round pick, that money does jump up. It's not the wild money that, you know, certain quarterbacks are making right now, like Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray and those guys. But it's a lot more than what he's making right now. So it'll be interesting to see, like, what quarterbacks are still there in, say, the third round or second or third round. Like, do they consider it then? Do they consider any of these veteran guys that are out there? It's interesting because Bill hasn't really, at any point, backed Mac Jones. Like, can you remember a time where he backed him? He was asked at the end of the year, is he a dirty player? And he's like, well, I'm not going to talk about every play in the game or whatever his answer was. And you're like, what? Is he a dirty player, yes or no? And he wouldn't answer it. When he was hurt during the year, every week people were asking him, or every day people were asking him seemingly, is Mac the starter? Or when Mac's healthy, is he the starter? And Bill would answer it in a way like, well, he's not healthy right now. It's like, yeah, okay. But when he is, and I'm not going to deal in hypotheticals. So it's just some of that maddening stuff, but he never backed Mac Jones. Now, booting Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, especially because by the end of the year, some of the anti-Mac Jones stuff that was getting floated around, Tommy Curran said it was probably Patricia and Judge that were putting it out there. So there was kind of this weird power struggle. I mean, power struggle, but just a weird relationship dynamic between the quarterback and the two buffoon coaches. And Belichick, I thought, would have more loyalty to the coaches, believe it or not. But maybe even for him, they were just so bad that he had to move on from them. So if Patricia's not in the building and Joe Judge is just doing kick return and punt, then maybe that's the closest thing we're going to get to him backing Mac Jones finally and be like, all right, he's the guy. And even with all that said, like, I'm not as strong as the caller who thought he was just a bad pick overall. Listen, I didn't love the pick. But again, his rookie year, he was decent enough. But this is the make or break year. If this thing looks anything like it did last year, Max in trouble. And even if he probably needs to be better than his rookie year. Like, as bad as this year was, he and Bill O'Brien are going to have to find a way to completely turn this thing around. I'm also fascinated to know, just will the players on the team, specifically the offensive players, although the defensive players have to be looking at this pissed too. Like, they had a good year for the most part, and they're seeing, you know, we got to score on defense every week. So they're probably annoyed with the offense and the decision-making there. I'm wondering what all those players think of Bill. And the fact that, I don't know how many of them, but at least multiple players were willing to speak off the record, but clearly their quotes are in the Boston Herald story, that shows you about the situation there too. Like, they're obviously pretty pissed, and they're willing to go talk. They're willing to make it public. So, you know, Bill can't love that. And some of the guys are a little bit more easy to identify. I'm not saying Mac Jones worked on that article. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But during the year, Mac Jones always had a few comments. You know, I want to be coached hard, kind of implying that he's not right now. Kendrick Bourne talking about, you know, the going all the way back to training camp. Kendrick Bourne was like, this isn't how it works. And I know they talked about how, you know, a number of players have been in this Shanahan style of offense before. And Kendrick Bourne's the one that leaps out to you. He's not even an extension of it. Like, he was playing for Kyle Shanahan a couple years ago. So he's kind of an obvious one, but he was also in the doghouse. And so, yeah, they just have so much work to do. And again, hiring Bill O'Brien is great. Good first step. But where does this go from here? And are those guys just going to automatically trust Belichick again? And like, how's that going to play out? It's all pretty fascinating to me. It really is. Ian's in Winchester. He's up next. What's up, Ian?
Hey, Rich.
Hey.
We've been talking for years about how the Patriots are cheap with their coaches, and the Judge and Patricia thing seems to be the worst example of that. But is that something we should be blaming Belichick for? Are we assuming that there's like a set amount of money for coaches and he hires cheap coaches so he can take a higher percentage of that? Or is that something we should be blaming Kraft for?
It's a great question, Ian. I don't know the answer. Does obviously the players, there's a fake salary cap put in place for the players. For the coaches, it's an awesome question. I don't know. Does Kraft tell Bill, listen, you have, let's just throw a number out, you have $30 million to fill out your entire staff. So I don't care if you have two coaches or if you have 22 coaches, you have $30 million. Because again, owners can pay coaches whatever the hell that they want. Now, obviously, they're all businessmen. They want to make a profit and all that other stuff. But if you're paying your head coach $25 million, again, this is a hypothetical, and you now have $5 million for the rest of your staff, well, of course, Bill's going to say, I'll take 25. I'll maintain being the highest paid guy. And it's not that Bill shouldn't be the highest paid guy, but if it's just he's told, like, here's your budget and all the players make less than you, and then you're going to bring in Matt Patricia only because the Lions are paying him. You're going to bring in Joe Judge only because the Giants are paying him. Yeah, that's not great. It does seem like when push comes to shove, they all of a sudden had money for Josh McDaniels when he turned the Colts down. Bill O'Brien's not going to be cheap. Bill O'Brien, I know his contract was up, but he's leaving Alabama. I'm sure he was making really good money at Alabama. Those college assistants make ridiculous money, so especially at an SEC school. So I'm sure he was making a ton. So he's going to cost a little bit more, but it's a good question. I don't know who would know the answer to that outside of, you know, Robert, Jonathan, Bill. But yeah, that's an interesting dynamic. And also, you would assume Gerard Mayo is getting a raise this year. I can't imagine it's just, hey, don't go anywhere. You're going to make peanuts again, but you're now the assistant head coach and maybe the D coordinator. I'm guessing he's going to make another probably a significant raise. That's my guess. Let's go to Kevin in Lawrence. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's happening? Pretty much agreed with you, number one on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to throw in Chad Jackson in the second round with N'Keal Harry in the first round.
Uh-huh.
And I got a little bit of a concern. I got a feeling that Belichick's playing both sides, meaning he's promising Mayo down the line head coaching job, and he's promising O'Brien down the line head coaching job. And I don't know how that's going to work out. My opinion.
Listen, nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Nice conspiracy there. It's possible. I still think Gerard Mayo has been told by the Krafts that he is the coach in waiting. I don't know if Bill signed off on that, or even, you know, honestly, it's probably not even up to him at that point. You know, like, you're going to be gone, so we're going to hire our guy. I think it's Mayo. And I think Bill O'Brien probably even saw that coming. Like, he saw the whole press release thing and how it all went down. And Bill O'Brien, who's been in multiple places, right? He was in Houston for a long time. He was the head coach at Penn State. He was down in Alabama for a couple of years. I don't think he said, I'm only coming back here so I can be the head coach. Now, what's interesting, and this is a question for down the line. So 2 years, when I assume we're going to be on this exact same spot, we could talk about if Gerard Mayo's the head coach, would he keep Bill O'Brien? If Bill O'Brien's the head coach, would he keep Gerard Mayo? Like, that's a discussion for another time. You can join us throughout the night, 617-779-7937. Talking a lot about the Boston Herald article, Callahan and Garigian doing a great job. Talking to a lot of sources on this, just how bad Joe Judge was, just how inept Matt Patricia was. Again, things we all saw throughout the year, but definitely some added details to all of this. And as a side topic of the night, the worst Bill Belichick moves since he's been in charge of the Patriots. Again, hiring Matt Patricia has to be in your top five somewhere. I have it at number two behind Malcolm Butler. But we come back here on the Rich Keefe Show. It is time for our bet du jour here on WEEI.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. Now, more of the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
What is the soup du jour?
It's the soup of the day.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. I'll have that.
Time now for the bet du jour. What is that? Great question. It's the bet of the day where Ben and I and whoever else happens to be in at this time of night
give you winners.
Well, at least that's the effort anyway. I've been trying to give you winners kind of every other night, seemingly, is where the winners come from. And oh, by the way, sort of a half update. The Twitch chat, shout out to you guys. What's going on? We are efforting, as they say, Ben, to have the show be on Twitch for, dare I say, the entire show. That is the hope someday that that'll happen. Right now, we are good for an hour, sometimes hour and a half. And we thank everybody for checking it out. But at some point, maybe in the near future, maybe I've already said too much, but we might get it.
Yeah, I wouldn't promise that.
All right, Keith. I'm taking it right back.
You know, we've talked about it. You've heard what I've said.
Yes.
Wouldn't promise.
We always get texts. We always get people at the end of it like, what the hell's going on? And so we're working on it. We are aware of you. We hear you. And we love you dearly.
What day's opening day? Like March 28th or something? I would expect it probably like March 26th. Like, we'll get like two good days in.
There's like two more months of the show as it is. So make hay while the sun shines. That's not the expression, but you know what I'm saying. So we're working on that. We will let you know if there's any more updates on that. But bet du jour time. You want bets. You want winners. Last night, I did not give you one. I took Wizards Rockets over. They weren't even close. They were way under. I am now 9-8 on the bet du jour. Meanwhile, Ben, he took Giannis over 29.5 points, which... for a little while there, Ben, wasn't looking great.
Oh, I was getting nervous that. I think it was going into the fourth.
He had a big fourth.
I think he had 22, so he ended up with, I think, like 11 in the fourth, so that was helpful. But, yeah, it was a slow moving game for Giannis.
And so it's now back-to-back wins for Ben.
He's heating up!
He's 10-4 on the bet du jour. So I'm 9-8, Ben's 10-4. Fitzy and Hart are each 3-1. So next week, I think they'll be back in there for this. So, all right, Ben, I will let you go first because you're killing it so far. What is your bet du jour?
Well, Celtics are in action tonight, so I'm going to go on the Celtics-Knicks.
Yep.
I'm going over 221 points.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that comes your way 7:30. By the way, I think Tatum will find out if he's an all-star starter tonight as well, so we will let you know. I'm going with that game as well. I mean, there's plenty of games on the slate, but we're going to be watching this one. Given the Celtics, they're laying 8.5, which is a big number. The Knicks have been okay. They're kind of hit or miss. Like, depending on what night you catch the Knicks, they look good one night, then they look terrible the next. But there's just something about, are the Celtics really about to lose 3 straight games?
And it's a TNT game.
TNT game. Everybody but Marcus Smart is supposed to be back. So I think you got your Jaylen Brown. You got your Malcolm Brogdon. You got your Al Horford. Time Lord was good last time. Tatum. And I think they realize, all right, those were two bad losses in a sense where you just kind of threw the game away, especially in the third quarter against the Magic, and then the way it ended against Miami. And you gave up a lead in that one, too. So I think they'll be a little pissed about that. They had the day off last night. I think they come back out and win convincingly. So 8.5 is the spread. Again, pretty big one. Ben's also taking the over on 221. The other thing we do around this time is what's in the old DVR. What are you taking a look at here tonight? And there's a new show. I haven't seen it because it debuts tonight. Or actually, it's a streaming show, so I'm sure it's available right this second. On Peacock, called Poker Face. Have you heard about this? You seen this?
I have not heard about this one yet.
Natasha Lyonne stars. It is a Rian Johnson show. So Rian Johnson did Knives Out.
Sold.
He did Glass Onion. He did a couple of really good episodes of Breaking Bad. He did
Star Wars.
Yeah, I didn't like the Star Wars that he did, but he did do that. So Poker Face, starring Natasha Lyonne, is a Mystery of the Week series following Charlie Kale, who has an extraordinary ability to determine when someone is lying. She hits the road in her Plymouth Barracuda and with every stop encounters a new cast of characters and strange crimes she can't help but solve. And so this is a show where the guest cast is going to be off the charts. And so like every episode is going to have probably 2 or 3 super famous people and she's just going to go through solving crimes. So it looks like the first, 4 episodes I think they released today. At least this is what I'm reading. First 4 episodes are out today and then it's going to be weekly till 10 episodes. So this is one maybe to keep an eye on. It's called Poker Face.
I'll definitely have to keep an eye on. I don't think I'm going to watch it yet, but right. we'll see. I'll see what your reaction is.
So the one guy I like for TV reviews is Alan Sepinwall from the Rolling Stone, and he was all over this one. All over it already. So I'm like, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Of course, I'm still watching The Last of Us. That is a Sunday night show.
Yeah, I still have the second episode to watch.
You watched the first one, though?
I have, yeah.
Liked it?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did. So I never played the game, though. So I'm like, when I was hearing you and Davey talk about it, it was nice to kind of get like, all right. Because I was watching my girlfriend. She was asking me like,
yeah.
It's like, is this the game? I'm like, I don't know. I never some of played. The scenes, I've heard it is, but I don't know.
Some of them are shot for shot. And even in the second episode, not a spoiler, but if you think of it in the terms of a video game, like the way the characters are like crouching at some point and like walking, like it's very, very video game. But it's the best story ever in a video game. So it's going to make a good TV show. But yeah, the reviews have been really good on that one. People
I see like from the first to the second episode, like they had a huge increase in audience too? Like
I think so.
Like 20% or like a couple million or something. I remember seeing they said like never happens.
Yeah, right. Because it always everybody tunes in at first and then they just lose interest or whatever in it. Yeah, it looks like it went up, which is pretty good. I mean, the HBO 9 o'clock show, you really can't go wrong. You got to at least try it. Because Sunday nights at 9, I mean, they always HBO always has a really good one. Because Succession, I think, is coming back.
Yeah, I saw season 4 trailer came out. So, yeah.
So they got that going on. So, all right, there you go. There's your bet du jour, what's in the DVR. You could join us at 617-779-7937 or hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Rich Keefe Show. Rob Bradford from the Bradfoe Show and Baseball Isn't Boring will join us for the next couple of hours. We won't do all baseball with Bradfoe, but we are going to start there as the 2023 Baseball Hall of Fame class was announced earlier this week. Scott Rolen. Just Scott Rolen. So he can try to defend, or maybe he'll blast his fellow writers. We'll get into that coming up next year on The Rich Keefe Show.